Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. Expresspros.com.
It is time to head back out to the Toyota of Hollywood hotline. Shop over 2,000 Toyotas on sale at one location. Toyota of Hollywood on 441 between Hollywood and Sheridan. ToyotaofHollywood.com.
All right, thank you, Woody. Mike Florio from Pro Football Talk joins us. And, Mike, we have had not one but two stories that, outside of sports, even though they've been big sports stories, that everybody seems to care about. And I get it at home when I go home with a house full of women, and not only there but at work. Talking about both Bill Belichick and the Shador Sanders story, and I'll start with the Bill Belichick stuff because there's so many different parts, and everybody's got their own conspiracy theory of Bill's losing it, and it's been great PR, way to sell the book, good job, and or she's out gold digging, trying to get all his money, and the family's not happy. Where do we start with that one, Mike, as we say good morning?
The most amazing thing about it, and good morning, Joe, is that of all the coaches in all of college or pro football, who would be most likely to not have something like this?
Right.
Right. That's what has so many people astounded. People who know Belichick will say he would be mocking someone like this. Set aside the 49-year age difference. The fact that someone who isn't an employee of North Carolina is so involved in the football operation, in coaching the UNC media team on how to properly couch the coaching career of Steve Belichick so it doesn't look like he's benefited from nepotism, what comments to allow on the UNC football website, and then acting as the de facto publicist and handler for this book tour. That, to me, the blurring of that line is amazing. It creates distraction on distraction. And at the core of all of this, I think the problem that has caused this thing to go off the rails, when you write a book, and I've written several and I've been involved in book tours and media efforts, publicity efforts to get people to buy a book, because generally speaking, nobody cares about your book. You have to make them care about it. You have to make them aware of it, first of all. And so you do these appearances. And this is where the typical PR realities of pro football get turned on their head. When you're the coach of a team, you don't need the publicity. The media needs you more than you need them. When you're trying to sell a book, you need the media more than the media needs you. And Bill has his same old media attitude that, oh, they're out to get me, they're up to something. No, you need them. And this was a softball interview that went off the rails. And his attitude is expressed in the email that his girlfriend posted the other day on Instagram. It just shows that he doesn't understand what it means to publicize a book, and he wants to do everything on his own terms. There's just kind of a subtle bulliness to him, if that's even a word. And that's what I think caused all this to go off the rails. He was so obsessed with doing this publicity on his own terms. That set the stage for her to interrupt the interview and shut down the highly inappropriate question, over the top, out of bounds. Hey, how'd you two meet?
Right. And by the way, does this sell more books? Because others have texted in today to say they're selling a lot of books by doing this. Now everybody's going to want to know what's going on in the book.
Well, but here's the reality. They're going to be disappointed because there's nothing in the book that's going to be about the stuff that's going on. That's why he was so upset. He doesn't want to be asked questions about anything other than what's in the book. And he picks and chooses what's in the book. And look, I don't know. I think that there will be a curiosity factor that will be piqued, but I don't think it's going to be satisfied by the book. I just wonder, for the people who were going to buy it just out of basic pride and they want to have the Bill Belichick book on their bookshelf, are they less likely to want it after what they've seen this week? But if any publicity is good publicity, it's been a good week for Bill Belichick. Although when you broaden the lens a little bit, I don't know how good it's really been.
Yeah, you know what's crazy about this? We've talked, I have talked, the last 20, 25 years, he's done nothing but kick ass of all the AFC East cities, and we're one of them. And then it started, then he started getting close to Shula, and he's going to get the Shula record of everything, and then the Tom Brady stuff, and now Tom lives down here. So we just, like, the Belichick thing never goes away. I never, like you just said, thought we'd be talking about a 24-year-old girlfriend and all the craziness. I never thought he'd go to North Carolina. So you throw all that stuff in, and it's just been a crazy trade. And by the way, you're the one that brought it up. I heard you talking on your own work at Pro Football Talk with Chris that Robert Kraft's not even in the book.
Yeah.
How do you do that? How do you? He not gives you all that pull and power, and you like he doesn't exist.
He allows you to run the program exactly as you see fit with no interference of any kind for 24 years. He lays the foundation for you and provides the financial resources for you to do what you did. And it's petty, it's vindictive, and that's a little window into Belichick's overall character. He's petty and he's vindictive. You could argue it would have been better to mention Kraft once, because then you've at least mentioned him, but you only mentioned him once and you don't fawn all over him in doing so. One of the things in that email that was posted the other day that caught people's eye, Belichick tries to take credit for the increase in the value of the franchise from $500 million to $8 billion. Look, even the bad teams have undergone that. That is not a product of winning championships. That's a product of being an NFL team. It's like Brewster's billions, not Brewster's millions. The money keeps going. If the Washington franchise led by Dan Snyder can go from $800 million to $6.05 billion in 24 years of his toxic leadership, that shows you it doesn't have anything to do with how the team is doing. But it's an indication of the hubris that has emerged. And, you know, what ultimately happens, and Joe, I think this is really the fundamental reality. We all need to have somebody close to us who is capable of saying clearly and effectively, what the hell are you doing?
Right.
What are you doing? What are you doing? We all need to have, from time to time, especially when things are going well. When things are going well, the doctor should prescribe a big old slice of humble pie. And sometimes it's the people closest to you who are in the best position to provide it.
Oh, I got you, man. I got one that says, leave your ego at the door. To this day, I still get it occasionally when I come home, feel a little too good about myself. Hey, Mike, so I got to ask Shedeur Sanders' story. Just overtook the whole draft. And by the way, apparently it was good for business. Record numbers of people watching every day and everything. And we saw the train wreck, and not the second overall pick, not the 21st pick, but ends up going in the fifth round. And all the other things with it. My God, all the other stuff. It was crazy. But, and I saw ESPN got ripped pretty good, too. Like, hey, over all these picks, and you're still worried about all you cared about. Shedeur didn't get picked. They missed the boat. You weren't fair to other athletes. What did you think overall about the whole thing?
Well, look, I thought that Thursday night, when the Titans are on the clock with the first overall pick and they're getting ready to take Cam Ward, who's been an afterthought in this whole process, they're talking about Shedeur Sanders then on ESPN. It's like, guys, this is Cam Ward's moment. I can understand why he was ignored in the run-up to the draft, because what's there to talk about? He's still penciled in as the number one overall pick. I said on our show that, you know, we're not talking about Cam Ward because what is there to say? He's still the number one overall pick. It's like Chevy Chase on Weekend Update. Generalissimo Francisco Franco is still dead. Like, There's nothing new to say about Cam Ward and the Titans. But when they're on the clock to take him, good God, talk about Cam Ward, not Shedeur Sanders. But let me tell you this. Every number that we have was up. And I'll get emails from people, oh, we're sick of hearing about Shedeur Sanders. No, you're not. No, I can see the traffic. All I got to do is press the button. I wrote a story last Friday night because I've been wondering, at some point, is there a player who leaves college and could still have played another year and decides to go back and sues the NCAA and tries to go back? And it finally hit me that, hey, maybe Shedeur could try that as he slides farther and farther because he'd make more money in college. I wrote that story in about 20 minutes. It was, I've been doing this 23 and a half years now, it was the most trafficked, wow, most read, most viewed story we have ever had.
We talked about it. We talked about that story as part of our show a few days ago, and Woody asked me in the back, said, what do you think? I go, yeah, if you don't go in the first round or second, or all right, maybe
Quinn Ewers should have done it. Quinn Ewers should do it. He should try to be playing for Miami University, not the Miami Dolphins. He left $4 million on the table at the university, up to $8 million, I'm told, he could have made under the deal they left. Now, part of the problem for him, the deadlines are so screwy, Joe, that it's like having the free agency start during the NFL postseason. The transfer portal opens while you're still playing games if you're in the playoffs. He had like 4 days at the end of the road to decompress and figure out what he was going to do. And so he just decided to go to the NFL. But he could do it.
Yeah.
Until any of these guys sign a contract, they could still wake up one day and say, you know what, I'm going to do this. I don't think they're going to. But you're right. The farther you fall, you look at your contract, it's about $4 million total over 4 years. Well, you can make $4 million for 1 year. And if you're Shedeur Sanders, I was saying, before all this nutty stuff happened with Belichick, I was saying last weekend, he should just try to go, because you need to get away from dad. You need to show that you can do this on
right,
your own.
Right.
Go play for the self-styled NFL's 33rd team in North Carolina. Play for Belichick, and that's going to bump up your draft stock, and then do it all over again. Show everyone you're serious about it this time, and you're going to be drafted a lot higher.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
What, I'm just curious, as you look back, and I know Mel Kiper just had a major meltdown because they were so far off his numbers and what he thought is the best quarterback in this draft, speaking of what you said earlier. So what do you think's the biggest thing happened? Shador's not that good, and they truly didn't think he was that good, or it had more to do with Shedeur thinking he was pretty good when he showed up and thought he was doing a little recruiting trip instead of maybe an interview?
Well, and Joe, here's my general approach. Before the draft, I try to stay away from all the potential mud because there is a strategic benefit right, for a team out there that really wants a guy to traffic in that crap, because then he slides down the board and you get him. We love him so much, we're going to trash him in the hopes that we can ultimately get him. After the draft, it's about figuring out what happened, and there isn't that same danger it's going to hurt the kid by having this stuff out there. So we've been trying to figure out exactly what transpired. And my best assessment is this, and it largely comes from talking to a GM the other night, but it meshes with other things we'd heard. At the end of the day, the perception by the folks in the NFL who were making these decisions is Shedeur Sanders viewed that he was being recruited, not interviewed. And his attitude was, I'm being recruited by you, not I'm trying to convince you to believe in me. And at the quarterback position, it's critical. You got to get up to the whiteboard. You got to show what you're talking about. You can't act like you're being nonchalant. And when you think about Deion's experience, Deion was a once-in-a-lifetime talent, yep, who could afford to be casual and nonchalant. He went in to meet with the Giants in 1989, They plopped a binder down in front of him with this long test they had all their prospects take. He looked at it. He said, when do you pick? They said, number 18. He said, I'll be gone by then. I don't have time for this. He can get away with that. Shadur can't.
Wow.
Now, I'm not saying Shadur did that, but if you have the attitude that, hey, you know, I know that I'm going to be one of the great players and I don't have to do anything, that can blow up in your face, especially at the quarterback position.
Yeah. Hey, and then to follow it up, and we had Kim Bocamper talk about being a first-round pick in the 70s, and his best friend pranked him and said it was, you know, Paul Brown calling, and then told him, kiss my ass, I'm joking, and he hung up the phone and how frustrated he was, and then Shula called like 10 minutes later, and he thought it was a prank again. He goes, this is not funny, and so he's going through the whole thing, and now Shadur goes through it, and this kid's waiting and dropping and dropping. They got fined pretty good. What'd you think of the fine?
Well, I think that if the NFL is going to fine anyone for this, the NFL needs to fine itself. And this is a point that has been grossly overlooked in all of this. And part of it is because the NFL is trying to push to captive and or friendly reporters the idea that we send out these phone numbers in a confidential memorandum. And if the team chooses to share that information with someone who doesn't need to know it, the team is responsible for whatever happens with it. Now, first of all, why in the hell would the Falcons give Jeff Albert, their defensive coordinator, Shadur Sanders' number? Why would you do that? Why
Great
would you
one.
Do that?
Yep.
And second of all, here's what happened, Joe. After the memo was sent, that does say confidential at the very top, not in as big of letters as maybe it should, but after the memo went with everyone's number, 45 guys in all, has the number. I've got the memo. 45 names on there and their phone numbers. Another email went out, and it went out to everyone in the NFL. It went out to the daily transaction report recipients. My best guess is 2,000 people got it, including Jeff Ulbrich directly, and it was a three-line message. Shadur Sanders has a new phone number for the draft. They even spelled his name wrong in the email. They threw an A in there, which makes no sense. I screw up the E and the U order all the time. They send out to everyone. Equipment managers get it. Everybody gets it. 2,000. A GM told me that at least 60 people per team get this thing. So the NFL has culpability for blasting this thing out to everyone. And that's where I think the NFL needs to look in the mirror. They need to come up with ways to tighten up who has it. Need to know only up to three people per team at most, owner, GM, and coach. And Joe, you hit on the other side of it. You can still have somebody mess with you who isn't connected to the NFL on the phone. Think about it. You're a kid that when you first got your cell phone, nobody knows you're going to be drafted by the NFL. You're just a kid.
Right.
People have your number. And your number goes here and there and everywhere. And so I don't think you're going to be able to eliminate that. I heard a story this week about a guy. He's not in the NFL anymore. But when he was in the NFL, he got a phone call telling him he'd been traded, and he packed a bag and he was on his way to the airport and called his agent. They just said, what the hell are you talking about? You haven't been traded. One of his buddies pranked him. You're always going to have the possibility that it came from the player, not from the team. So I'm going to write something at PFT where I just lay out all the things that they're going to need to do. Because you know what's going to happen next year? It's going to be a thing. And
yes.
Anybody, and it's a challenge to anybody who wants to try to mess with one of these players. This is it. This is the thing. Hey, you know, we're basically daring you to get this information and make a prank call during the draft.
You get a lot of social media hits on it. You're exactly right. This thing will be, especially if the guy bites on it and the whole thing. Hey, before I let you go, we take a lot of pride in this down here in the state of Florida, and that is our high school athletes. And 37 drafted from Texas was number one. Florida was number two. The one that surprised me is the state I grew up in. California, that huge-ass state, only had 16 players drafted. I was shocked.
Wow. Yeah. You know, a lot of it is just basic population statistics. The more people that you have, the more likely you're going to have supremely talented athletes. But I also think that there's something to be said for being in an environment where those skills get honed, all the 7-on-7, all the emphasis on football. And you think of football, you think of Texas, you know, and you think of Florida. Those are the first two states you think of. And I think that that has a lot to do with it. The talent is one thing. Getting it fully and completely developed to the point where that talent is ready to perform at the highest level, that's a different thing.
Mike, I've really enjoyed this today, man. Crazy. Two stories that have just flown not only for the NFL, but for everybody's got an opinion on it. It's just
whenever
crazy.
Whenever I hear from NBC News that they want me to do a little pop for nightly news, I know the story's big. I did something earlier this week on Shedeur Sanders. And
that's awesome.
It's good for business. The NFL finds a way to generate money and interest when nothing is going on by way of actual games that matter.
Incredible. Not even games. You're exactly right. Mike, thank you. Have a good weekend.
Thanks, Joe. See you.
Mike Floro from Pro Football Talk. We got to go to break here. But before we do, hey, guess who's back in town? Marlins back in town, man, for starting tonight. First of three games against the A's. And I got to tell you, man, we got a lot of stuff going on. Sunday is going to be a fun one. If you have time, Star Wars Day. You can get some special stuff there, so check on that one. Sunday, you get a free beach towel for the first 8,000 to go out there. Marlins beach towel. Saturday is Mexican Heritage Celebration. So they got really cool things. I always tell everybody, go check it out for all the things the marketing department has. They got a lot of really cool things, and see if it matches up, especially if you're going to the game, get an idea what you and the family are going to be getting. And so the A's will be in town Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, and then the Dodgers Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. The best show in baseball right now. My God, is that thing unbelievable. We'll have a lot more when we come back.